How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, Hour 1.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, I am very glad to have you. We've got to begin with what is undoubtedly the biggest story of the day, and that is inflation. It has come back. You know, they said it was going away. It was transitory, except when it wasn't. It's not good. Inflation hotter than expected in March. U.S. consumer prices, according to the Bureau of Labor Standards or Labor Statistics, says the CPI rose 0.4% over the previous month and 3.5% over the previous year in March. The trend lines had been good on inflation, and then there was an anomaly last month. They thought it was 3.2% for February and now 3.5%, so it's a month-over-month increase. Last month, they were saying February probably was an anomaly, except it doesn't appear that February was an anomaly. It appears that there actually is the inflation situation heating back up in the country, and that undermines the Federal Reserve. So right now, as the show is live, right now, the Dow is down 511 points. NASDAQ is down 186 points. S&P 500 down 60 points. They were expecting good numbers. Now, how does this put in perspective your life? Let me give you the numbers from Heather Long. Heather Long is a columnist on the editorial board of the Washington Post. Car insurance is up 22% year over year. Car repair costs up 12%. Baby formula up 10%. Veterinarian costs up 10%. Rental costs up 5.9%. Electricity costs up 5%. Restaurant costs up 4.2%. Gas up 1.3%, and elder care. Home health care for the elderly, the largest increase ever, up 14.2%. Now, again, let me again give you these because there's another piece of data here you need to know. Car insurance costs up 22%, car repair costs up 12%, baby formula costs up 10%, veterinarian costs up 10%, rent up 5.9%, electricity up 5%, restaurants up 4.2%, gas up 1.3%, elder care, home health care for the elderly up 14.2%. Your wages up just over 3%. So most Americans actually are seeing a decline in their take-home pay because costs continue to outmatch wages. And that is a problem. That is a serious problem for Americans. It's a serious problem for Joe Biden. But wait, there's more. Dun, dun, dun. So the Biden administration, I mentioned this yesterday, they have decided to tell the Ukrainians to stop trying to hurt Russian petrochemical facilities, particularly refineries in Russia. The Ukrainians have a problem. The Russians are making inroads into Ukraine because the Ukrainian ammunition is running low. So they're more restricted in what they're doing right now. Now, this is because the U.S., one, has been dragging its feet, but two, Europe's been dragging its feet, among other things. It actually is a problem for the Ukrainians. They're running out of ammunition. They're running out of heavy weapons. So what the Ukrainians have been doing to slow the Russian advance, the Russians are getting their fuel for their tanks and helicopters and everything else from Russian supply chains. So the Ukrainians have started bombing quite successfully, I might add, the Russian supply chains, particularly the oil refineries and the petrol producers, among others. They've been sending drones behind enemy lines, and it's been working. Now the Biden administration is asking Ukraine to stop doing that, despite its success. They're asking Ukraine to stop doing that because of what it's doing to global oil prices. Because that impacts Joe Biden's reelection. Who cares about beating the Russians when you got to beat Donald Trump? As you know, the Democrats now rationalized that if you're beating Donald Trump, you actually are beating the Russians. It's kind of a remarkable thing, to be honest with you. It's remarkable. The sabotage, we got to sabotage Ukraine's war effort in order to save Joe Biden, because according to the Democrats, the most important thing on planet Earth is stopping Donald Trump. The economy may stop Joe Biden. This actually is a real problem for Biden as they continue to try to tell everybody that the economy is fine, as they continue to try to tell everybody that everything is all hunky-dory. Look over at Arizona. Look at the abortion law in Arizona. Don't look at the economy. So the Republican strategy here moving forward, there is a political calculation that has to be made here. The Republican strategy has to be to try to get people to care more about the economy and crime than to care about abortion. Treasury yields are up. People are trying to figure out where to put their money. The Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Russell, they're all down. The Federal Reserve meeting was a couple of weeks ago. The minutes are going to be released at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Doesn't matter what they say. Given the way inflation has trended, the odds of five cuts this year, which is what people are expecting, are probably now down to 2 cuts this year in interest rates, if there are cuts at all. And the odds that the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates in June, as so many people expected, is probably out the window. In fact, major economists at Citibank, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, Chase, they're all coming out today, Goldman Sachs, saying the odds that the Fed cuts rates in June now is pretty much zero. People were banking on a Federal Reserve interest rate cut. They were betting on a Federal Reserve interest rate cut. And the reason they were betting on the Feds doing something like this is because they really, truly, genuinely expected that everything was A-OK and the economy was trending in the right direction, but they can't get a handle on inflation. They thought they were getting a handle on inflation. What the Fed doesn't want to do is push us into a recession. And I got to say, they've actually done a remarkably good job. It's funny to watch the Biden administration try to take credit for this. They would be throwing the Fed under the bus if there was a recession. They try to say, no, it's not. But they want all the credit. They want all the credit for inflation coming down, still going up, but not as fast as it was. So they want the credit for that. They want the credit for it not being a recession. But really, it's the way the Federal Reserve has been governing things. They've taken the politics out of it as best they can. Not completely, but as best they can. And they've managed to slow the economy, to slow inflation, without pushing us into a recession. The problem here is what you are dealing with on a daily basis and what your friends are dealing with. Every single one of us, I'm pretty sure, every single one of us knows someone who's either making serious cutbacks or looking at picking up an extra job to make ends meet. A buddy of mine actually texted me the other day, maybe listening. Actually, no, he can't be listening right now. He was at jury duty the other day, and he's at the age where he doesn't want to get out of jury duty. It's excitement. If you're listening, Kenny, you know, you get to a certain age and you're like, it could be exciting. I'll go hang out with the mass of humanity that isn't smart enough to get out of jury duty. And I'll be the master of the clowns because I actually want to do it. Unlike these fools who weren't smart enough to get out of it. So he's in jury duty. He's like, I clearly live in a bubble. I clearly do not live in the real world, because in the real world, there are a lot of people working a lot of jobs and they don't have any teeth. But, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, though, it the number of people who are working multiple jobs to get 40 hours a week to make ends meet. The government is telling us that there's this massive, massive, massive surge in jobs. And people are having such a great time working and they've got full-time jobs, but they don't actually have full-time jobs. They're working multiple part-time jobs to get 40 hours a week. And if you work five jobs to get to 40 hours a week, the government now considers you having one full-time job. They've rigged the numbers in that respect. And by the way, this is not a Biden thing. This has been going on for a while. And it's kind of remarkable to see this situation play out where an underlying weakness in the economy has got to be the number of people working multiple jobs to get one full-time job. But on top of that, you got the situation in California where they've raised the minimum wage to $20 for franchise chain restaurants. And so in California now, a lot of people are losing jobs because a lot of these companies are going out of business. They're shutting down or they're moving to robots. McDonald's is moving to robotic hamburger flippers. I saw a story somewhere yesterday that some barbecue restaurant is experimenting with a robot that can carve up ribs. If your ribs are good, by the way, I will gladly carve them for you for free. As long as I get to eat a few, I don't need money. I just, man, I love ribs. But when your job is being replaced by robots because they're forced to pay too much, and now you've got to go find multiple jobs to work 40 hours to get one job, and your wages are up 3%, but your costs are up 10%, that's not a good economy. It doesn't matter how much the Biden administration lectures us that things are good. It doesn't matter how many times they trot out Janet Yellen to tell us that actually we're the tallest midget in the room. Look at every other country. We're so much better than them. It doesn't actually matter. What matters is your lived experience. You know, the most remarkable thing about the left these days is that they tell us all the time that your lived experience is the most important thing. You can't say that America is not a racist nation when your lived experience as an individual is to see racial disharmony, discord, and racism in your life. It doesn't matter what the data says. Your lived experience is what matters to the left, to progressives. That is part of postmodernism. Your lived experience develops your truth, and your truth is more important than the truth because there is no actual truth. There's just what you believe, except when it comes to Joe Biden's economy. And if you don't believe it's a good economy, well, you're just a racist, bigot, Trump supporter. Who cares about your lived experience? The Democrats want you to know that your lived experience is irrelevant because the data tells them that the economy is roaring. And it's true. Our economy is better than every other economy. And it is true that inflation in the United States is far less than inflation in other countries. And it is true that people elsewhere are having a harder time than we are here. But you don't live there. You live here. And your situation today is worse than when Donald Trump was president. Your economic situation today is worse. And do you know the tell? Do you know the tell that the Democrats know this? Because when you ask people, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Overwhelming majority of independents say we're worse off. Overwhelming majority of Republicans say we're worse off. Do you know what an overwhelming majority of Democrats say? No. They don't say we're better off. They say there's just been no change, which is actually subtly, honestly, them saying they're worse off. They just don't want to admit it lest it hurt Joe Biden. But the fact that they're admitting their life has been stagnant for 4 years is a pretty damning indictment in and of itself on Joe Biden's economy, where they said that inflation was going down and it was transitory. And nope, not only has it gone up in February, it's gone up even more in March. And now your 401k today is tanking because of Joe Biden's economy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Well, your phone calls have done a good job. The House isn't sure it can pass the Pfizer reform because of, well, a flood of calls from conservatives upset about it, according to the media. Wonder who pushed them to call. That's why you should subscribe, by the way, to my daily email, because in addition to getting the show notes when the show comes out, you get my morning piece, which is sometimes a call to action like that one, where, I mean, the media literally is the AP reporting a flood of phone calls from conservatives in the last 24 hours has caused Republicans to second guess whether or not to pass the Pfizer reform bill. Who was nationally telling people to call? I can only think of one guy, but that was actually you doing it, not me. Text data to 33777. Not only can you subscribe, you'll get a 15% discount off the paid portion of it where you get the show notes. As always, the phone lines are open, 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. I would be delighted to have you on the program with me. Now, I'm going to spend a little more time later in the show on the Arizona case. But I'm reminded by how dumb the American media actually is. The American media really, really is dumb. So here's what happened. There was a law on the books in Arizona saying no abortions. Then Roe v. Wade happens in 1973. It trumps all laws in the country. And then the Supreme Court throws out Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision. And so you go back to the status quo ante. What does the status quo ante mean? The status quo before Roe v. Wade. Well, guess what? There was a law on the books in Arizona that said you can't do abortions. So the Arizona Supreme Court says, whether we like it or not, the law in Arizona prior to Roe was no abortion. We have to go back to that because no one ever got rid of that law on the books. So the legislature, do your job. That's all that happened. Then the headlines are Arizona Supreme Court imposes anti-abortion rules on a no. It just said you got to go follow the law. That's the law. Just absolute idiocy by the American press corps on this, willfully so, to help the Democrats. Now, one group fighting back against the Democrats is Americans for Prosperity. They are the premier grassroots organization in the nation for conservatives, and you should be a part of them. They are a do tank. They're not a think tank. They're a do tank. They go into the states, and they do the business of the conservative movement. They're not just trading white papers in D.C. and stroking their chin. They're actually knocking on doors. They're training activists to be better volunteers. They're training activists to be advocates for the conservative movement. They support school choice. They played vital roles in multiple states in getting school choice passed. They support families. They support getting rid of certificates of need, driving up regulatory costs for hospitals in countries that are directly impacting your ability to find good medical care. They are a great organization. They want you on their side. You can find out more at AmericansForProsperity.org/Eric. AmericansForProsperity.org/ERIC. Go join Americans for Prosperity. Be an effective grassroots activist for the right. Breaking news, Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary and President of Harvard, is saying that actually he's beginning to think the Fed may raise rates yet again, which could be the tipping point into a recession, given the inflation news. It's just not coming down where they want it to come down to. We'll see. Right now, I want to jump to the phones. I want to get Mike's phone call here before I move on. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good.
Well, I had a question and I didn't know, you know, how they could do it, if they could do it. But if we can send $2 billion or over $2 billion to Ukraine, we can't throw $50 billion in their Social Security fund so it don't run out in 2035?
Okay, that's actually a great question. Whether you or I like it or not, Social Security is considered a what, quote unquote, pay for. That is, money comes out of people's wages, goes into Social Security. The foreign aid budget is not considered that. They could take money. They could take money and move it to Social Security, but everybody in Washington treats it as a quote unquote pay for, where the money comes out of people's paychecks designated for Social Security. Ukraine is part of the foreign aid budget. Now, for perspective, though, for all the people like, oh, my God, this is so much money we're sending Ukraine, it's less than 1% of the total federal budget goes to foreign aid. I've always been a supporter of it because it's like less than 1% of the total total government budget. We're essentially bribing dictators to like us. But I mean, it's worth the money to get them on our side. The problem, though, is that Joe Biden just cut your Medicare. And Joe Biden made a conscious decision to cut Medicare because it's the Medicare Part D program that he cut. Democrats don't like it because it uses free market reforms to keep costs down. And so he gutted it. 15% of seniors use Medicare Part D, and Joe Biden just sabotaged it because the unions, and it was a union issue, it was a union demand that Joe Biden cut Medicare Part D, and he went along with it, trying to cobble together his coalition and his base. Now, I was going to talk about Biden and the border here, but I actually want to talk about this first. We'll get to Biden and the border because he's thinking now he may do something. You might not know James and Jennifer Crumley. Although they've been in the headlines enough in the last few days, you probably do. We got a call about them yesterday. James and Jennifer Crumley have been sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison because their son murdered 4 people at his school. Ethan Crumley was 15 years old. He murdered 4 classmates. He wounded 7 others at Oxford High School, November 30th, 2021. The names of the dead are Tate Meyer, he was 16. Hannah St. Juliana was 14. Madison Baldwin was 17. Justin Schilling was 17. The parents are going to prison. How can this be? I have seen gun rights activists outraged by this. We've gotten calls to the show about this. There's always a concern about a slippery slope. Are we going to start now, if someone does something bad, are we going to punish the parents? Actually, constitutionally in this country, there's actually a constitutional provision. We can't punish people for their relatives' crimes. But this isn't the case here. Now, I had a law school professor, my torts professor, Professor Cresswell. He used to say all the time when people talk about slippery slopes, it's only a slippery slope if you choose to slide. And we may slide down this. I'm not saying we won't. But I want to give you the facts of this case because a lot of people are whipping, particularly gun activists, into a frenzy over this case. That how can it be that we're sending 2 parents to prison for involuntary manslaughter for failing to stop their son's mass murder? I want to give you the facts of this case because I think the jury got it right. Why do I think the jury got it right? Because Ethan Crumley was 15 years old and his father bought him a gun. I bought my kid a gun when she was 15 years old. Now, it didn't say in her name. She's too young, but it was a gun meant for her. It was a .22. My kids are good shots. We've had them using guns since they were young. Given security issues in our family, in our family's house, we have a lot of guns, and we want our kids to know how to be safe around them. We live in the South, where lots of people come into contact with guns. We want our kids to know how to use guns, how to be safe around guns, what not to do with guns. You never actually pull the trigger with a gun. You always assume every gun is loaded. We wanted them to be safe. We keep them locked up. We keep them out of their hands, but we have guns that we bought for our children that when they turn 18 will be their guns. but my children are mentally sound and Ethan Crumley was not, and his parents knew it. Not only was Ethan Crumley not sound, but his dad was, you know, the type, I got the Second Amendment right, and I'm going to use my right, and my kid's going to use his right, we're going to use the Second Amendment. By God, you can't stop me. It's my constitutional amendment. And he went out and he bought his son a gun, and 4 days later, his kid killed kids at his school. But not only did he kill kids at his school, but that morning, the morning Ethan Crumley murdered four kids, his parents were summoned to the school because Ethan Crumley had drawn a picture of a gun, a human body bleeding, and the words, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." The thoughts won't stop. Help me. The meeting lasted 12 minutes, and Mrs. Crumley said, "Are we done here?" She defended their right to have guns and to have their son have a gun, but the parents knew something the school did not know. The parents knew, 4 days before being shown this picture by the school staff, that their son drew of him murdering his classmates and writing the words, quote, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." The parents had bought their son the gun he used to commit the murders. Have you heard that from any of the people trying to drive you to outrage over these people? Let's talk about something completely different for a minute. Happened in my local community. Some parents threw a keg party for a group of high school kids. They were underage, shouldn't have been drinking. The parents let them drink. The kids got drunk. And one of the kids, drunk, left the party and got in a car wreck. Do you know who was liable? Yeah, the parents. The parents who let the kids drink and let the kid leave drunk, and he got in a car wreck. Yeah, the parents were liable. Parents went to jail, by the way. The parents went to jail. There's no difference in the hypotheticals. There's no difference other than one was alcohol involved, one was a gun involved. The parents knew their son was struggling with mental health, serious problems. They knew it. The parents knew it. They bought him a gun anyway. They took the, "It's our Second Amendment right. You can't stop us from buying a gun. We're going to buy our kid a gun. We don't care about the problem. He's allowed to have a gun. We're going to buy him a gun." So they bought him a gun and he killed people 4 days later. And when confronted with a drawing of his son that his son drew, murdering his classmates, saying, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." The parents never told the school, "You know what? We bought him a gun 4 days ago. We better go check and see where it is." No, no, no. They argued with the school. They defended their son's Second Amendment right and their Second Amendment right. They said, "Are we done here? We promise we'll get him help if you let us leave." And they walked out the door, and his son that same day murdered four people. You are your brother's keeper, but you are your children's keeper, particularly when your child is 15 years old. Your child doesn't even have a contract right until they're 16 years old. They need a legal guardian, even in those cases, usually with some waivers from courts. You got a 15-year-old a handgun, and 4 days after it, you know your kid is mentally disturbed and he murders four people. And not only are you defiant, you say it's your constitutional right to do it and they can't stop you from doing it. You are responsible for your children and you are responsible for raising your children. And when your children clearly need mental help, your position should not be to double down. "By God, it's my constitutional right to do this and you can't stop me. And it doesn't matter if he's got mental issues." Your position should be not to placate your son with a handgun, but to getting the help he so clearly needed before he murdered his classmates. And you're defiant and saying you can't believe you're going to jail. You're damn right you're going to jail. You bought your kid a gun that he used to murder people, and you were confronted with proof that he clearly had it on his mind, and you didn't even tell the school, "Oh my gosh, our kid has a gun." No, you said your kid has a constitutional right to a gun. the level of self-centeredness and self-absorption of these two people, it's only a slippery slope if we choose to slide down it, people. And in this case, we're not sliding down it. We're doing the right thing here. These people were irresponsible, and their irresponsibility led to their son actually killing four people. They had guns in the house their son couldn't get, from what I've read. But he could get access to the gun they bought him and the ammunition to go with it. My aggravation here is with the Second Amendment supporters, of which I am one. But the ones who are like, I can't believe they would punish these parents for what their son did. They're not punishing the parents for what their son did. They're punishing their parents for clearly playing a role in leading their son to do this by their direct knowledge that he had intentions in his head of committing mass murder, and they bought him the weapon with which he would come out cause that mass murder. I can't believe the people who are so dogmatically fixed, they can't even see what actually happened here. And not only that, the people who are telling you this story to get you outraged, who are leaving out the key facts. I had no idea when I first heard this that the parents were confronted with his drawing. The morning of the mass shooting, they were confronted with the drawing that their son drew of him contemplating murdering his classmates. And instead of telling the school, oh, you know, we bought him a gun 4 days ago, they defended his Second Amendment right. Y'all, I have guns for my children. We take my children shooting. My children aren't suffering from mental health problems. My children have not expressed a desire to commit mass murder. If my children had mental issues, had expressed a desire to harm their classmates, we would be getting them help. My children were bullied at their school, and we kept showing up at the school, pushing the school to do something. When the school wouldn't do something, we moved our kids out of the school to a different school. You're responsible for your children. You are not going to be found guilty for your children's crimes because your children committed those crimes. But when you buy your child a gun, 4 days later are confronted with the fact that he's contemplating mass murder, and you do nothing other than defend your right to the Second Amendment and say, well, we'll get him help, can we leave now? And then within hours, he kills his classmates. Yeah, that's involuntary manslaughter. You played a role. And I'm just, there's no justification here for what they did. And even at their hearing, they were absolutely unmoved by the fact, thinking they had played no role in this. It's not their fault, and they shouldn't be blamed for what their kid did. They can't even own up to the fact that they, as parents, showed horrible judgment. Horrible judgment. When Cain killed Abel, he said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, yes, you've missed the whole, if you say you're not, you've missed the point of the story. But this isn't about being your brother's keeper. This is about parents are their children's keeper, and they did a terrible job, and they're going to pay the price. And don't give me the slippery slope here. Even the prosecutors in this case have said this isn't about sliding down a slippery slope, and this isn't about punishing people for their children's crimes. This is about they bought their child a gun when they knew he was mentally disturbed, and 4 days later, confronted with the desire to murder his students, they did nothing, and within hours, he murdered the students. And it just frustrates me to no end that there are Second Amendment groups out there trying to make you get scared and please write us a check so we can fight back against this stuff. And they're leaving out the relevant details. These were people who committed malpractice in the act of parenting, and they're paying the price. And frankly, they should. I buy guns, and you know, one of the reasons I like Old Glory Bank is because they will not stop me from using my debit card from their bank to buy a gun. There are a growing number of banks in this country controlled by the left who won't let you buy guns out of your checking account with your debit card. And now there are credit card companies as well that don't want to do this. Old Glory Bank is proudly pro-Second Amendment. And they're proudly pro-family. They're proudly pro-Christian. You're not going to have to worry. They've got a banking bill of rights. You can see on their website, they are not going to prohibit you from any lawful transaction through the bank, whether they agree or not. And they happen to be conservative, so they like the Second Amendment, like me. That's why I love them. And they charge no fees. They are a great bank to do business with. They're an online bank. And I know older families sometimes aren't so sure about the online bank. Y'all, I love them. It's easy to deposit money with them. It is easy to do business with them. And they're just good people. You can have an account with them in 8 minutes or less online. OldGloryBank.com is the website. OldGloryBank.com. Go to OldGloryBank.com. Get yourself an account. Get your kids an account if you want. No fees. They can put in $50, $20. They're babysitting money, and it's not going to get eaten up with bank fees. OldGloryBank.com, OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome back. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever you are nationwide, if you're buying a building, building a building, buying a company, buying a franchise, First Liberty can help you. FirstLibertyGA.com is their website. First Liberty Building and Loan makes their own lending decisions. The Frost family's been doing this since the 90s. If you see opportunity for your business, reach out to them, FirstLibertyGA.com. By the way, great question from a listener. If the parents are liable, why not the school, given the picture? The reason the school was not liable for this is because they had no knowledge of the parents having bought the kid a gun. They saw the note. They took action. They found the picture the kid had drawn of committing mass murder, brought the parents in. The parents told them they would get help. The parents never told the school the kid might have a gun. The school had no reason to think the kid would have a gun, so they weren't liable for it. The parents, though, everything clicked with them. They saw the picture. They knew he wanted to commit mass murder. They had bought him a gun 4 days before. They defended their Second Amendment rights to the school instead of saying, oh, we got our kid our gun. We may need to check where it is. All of that stuff, just infuriating. Glenn, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. I called you yesterday and asked you the crumbly question. But
I think your fault I decided to go off on this today after I got it.
I'll tell you, by the way, Glenn, it's not really your fault.
I got a fundraising email last night from a group that will remain nameless that was trying to make me outraged about this case. I was like, wait a second. Y'all left out some facts here.
It's okay. I've been married 40 years. Everything's my fault. So anyway, yeah, you did a great job. Thanks. This is the explanation that I wanted to hear. Now, with that said, however, I think if you substitute judges, DAs, and parole boards for the Crumley's parents,
yes,
and you put repeat defenders, then waiting for the election is not sufficient. Now, I'm not arrogant enough to think that I could out argue, and I'm not done. I would just like you to reconsider that. Maybe we need something more timely to prevent these wild DAs from releasing these dangerous people.
Okay, so I've only got about 30 seconds here, Glenn, but I'll tell you, one, I agree with you completely, but two, we got to get the legislature to do it because there's ample case law that gives them liability protection for making these decisions. But you're absolutely right. If we're going to throw the parents in jail for a situation like this where they should, when we got a DA who lets a repeat offender out and the repeat offender keeps killing people, yeah, we should be throwing the DA in jail. Same principle applies, but that will take an act of a change of law that doesn't apply for the parental exception. But you're right. We should. Voters should not have to bear the consequences of these progressive DAs letting murderers out of prison repeatedly.